Tonight, I had every intention on looking at Jeremiah 13, but that has changed. I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 5. And I want us to take a quick glance at Noah. You think about the time in which Noah was born, the time in which he was brought up. As a matter of fact, evil was all over the earth. Man's mind was on evil continually. Yet when Lamech had his son Noah, in chapter 5 and verse number 29, his name literally means comfort. He was going to bring comfort to the world. And Noah did exactly that. He was one that definitely brought comfort. And Noah lived during a time when men got away from God. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 4 with Lamech and verse number 19, we find that Lamech had gone away from God's ordained marriage law. One man, one woman for life. He took on two wives. We also see that Cain, he was a murderer. We saw that even with him. When we stop and we consider some of the things about this great man Noah, I believe it's worthy of our consideration just for the next few minutes just to think about this great man of God. Why is he a great man of God? Well, one reason he is a great man of God is because of Genesis 6 and verse 22. There we find in this very powerful passage that Noah was a man that did this regularly. He was a man that did all according to what God commanded him. What a blessing it is to be that type of person. A person that sees the law of God and strives to do all of it. Not 98% of it, not 99.8% of it, but all of it. And the reason why this is important, because we see this in his actions. We see this all with Noah. But then we see in Genesis 7 and verse number 1 that Noah was a man that did what God told him to do when it was time to go into the ark. We think about that very powerful thing there that God told him, that it's time for you to come into the ark. But notice what was said about this great man of God in Genesis 7 and verse number 1. There the Bible says, because I have seen that you are righteous before me. What a great tag. What a great tag that God calls you righteous. You know, when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God put a tag on us. The tag was, you're righteous. This man here was a man that loved God's will, love God's word. As a matter of fact, Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 5 that he was a preacher of righteousness. What does that mean? It meant that he preached what God wanted him to preach. He said what God wanted him to say. He did what God wanted him to do. We think about that very clearly and look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. And we keep all of these things in mind, friends, because of the time in which Noah was living in. A sin-saturated time. A time in which men's hearts were totally evil. That this particular man had to go and preach. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. And it says a lot about who Noah is. Notice, by faith. We could stop right there. We know faith coming by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. By faith, Noah. What did Noah do? Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved. Meaning that he moved forward. He did God's will. And he did it by faith. And isn't it ironic that when we move, when we do anything, it's not based upon our own thinking or understanding, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. But it's based upon what God has said. And this is why we have to read the word of God. This is why we have to get into the mind of God, so we can be just like Noah. So we can be a man that will move with what type of fear? Notice, godly. Godly reverence. God is to be revered in our lives. He is to be revered in our hearts. He is to be revered by those who are even amongst us. But notice what moving with fear did. It caused him to prepare the ark. I'm amazed at the enormity of the ark and the measurements that God gave him. Could you imagine Noah saying, you know, I don't believe that window needs to be there. It needs to be lower. Can you imagine him not putting tar or pitch on the inside of the ark? You know, it really doesn't need this pitch on the inside. Yes, it did. God said it did. And the very fact that God said that it needed pitch within and without, that's what he needed to do. He didn't cut any corners doing God's will. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he did exactly what God told him to do, which ought to put him very high on our list. If God says that the window needs to be up high, that's where it needs to be. If God said it needs to be pitched within and without, if God said that it needed a big door, then that's exactly what needed to happen. And that's exactly what took place. And don't you know that if Noah would have cut corners on anything on the ark, it would have sank? Why? Because it wasn't according to the will of God. And the very fact that this particular man loved God enough that he moved with godly fear and he prepared the ark. And notice for what? Verse number 7. For the saving of his house. What does that teach us? It teaches us, especially as men, that we have a responsibility to do what God says, that our houses may be saved. We have a great responsibility as preachers and elders and leaders in the Lord's church to do what God has commanded in his word. Why? People are relying upon us. Every Sunday, people are relying upon the truth being taught and preached. And here you think of this wicked world that Noah found himself in. And the Bible teaches us that his very life condemned the world. You know what that also teaches us, friends? It teaches us that when we live as the light of the world, that when people see our lives, then there's a standard. They know that's the way I ought to be living. His life condemned the world. Friends, we don't have to blend in. We can stand out. You know, it's okay to stand out. We don't have to have a picket sign. We don't have to look crazy and do all manners of evil in order to stand out. Just do what's right. Just do what God says and you will stand out. You'll stand out. You think about this great man of God, and it's because of this great man of God. Go back to the book of Genesis chapter 9 and share some of these points here. In Genesis chapter 9, it's because of this great man of God, verse number 1 through verse number 7, God did what? God had a bow, and he put it in the cloud. You think about this. Because of the righteousness of Noah, because of him preaching what God wanted him to preach, because of the life that he lived, and when God brought the flood, and the waters subsided, and God told Noah, you and your family, leave the ark, God says, I'm going to do something now. I'm going to put a bow. I'm going to put it in the cloud, and that's going to be a covenant between me and the earth. Praise God for great men like Noah. And you know what? God still kept that covenant. He's still keeping it. And every time we see a beautiful rain, we see a rainbow. You know, we can thank Noah for him being so righteous before God. And we can thank God for him giving Noah exactly what he needed to know and to do that he may be righteous before God. I want to share something with you real quick. Look at Isaiah 54. When I came across this passage, it thrilled me. And I'll be totally honest, I don't remember reading it before. But in Isaiah 54 and verse number 9, here Isaiah says something very powerful, of course being inspired. You know what he called the flood? Notice what the Bible here says. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. Can you imagine the flood being named after Noah? I didn't know that before I studied this and looked at this. It kind of reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 2, when the children of Israel, when they came out of Egyptian bondage, and the Bible says they was baptized into Moses. Wow, a great event named after a great man of God. But then you turn your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, and let's look at Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 14, and verse number 14 and also verse number 20. Notice what God has to say about this great man of God. And friends, I truly believe that we can live our lives in a way that God can look at us in the same way, as righteous, because of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse number 14 here, God is talking about the destruction of his people. And notice what he says in verse number 14. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. Can you imagine your name being named among great men like Daniel and Job? Friends, that's powerful. That's something for us to consider. When someone says your name, what group do they put it in? You look in verse number 20 and notice what the Bible there says. Again, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. Wow. You know what that teaches us about Noah? It teaches us that he actually did what God said. You know what that teaches us about ourselves? That we can do what God has said. And God will deliver us. Really, we will deliver ourselves because of Christ's righteousness. Isn't it amazing that when we apply God's word to our lives, we're actually doing exactly what he has said. Therefore, we're not delivering ourselves based upon our own thinking. We're delivering ourselves based upon what God has said. Powerful. And we see that in Noah. We see this great man of God. I was thinking about him, and I was looking at the book of Luke. Look at Luke chapter 3. And we see something very powerful again about this great man. Some 51 times we find Noah's name in the Bible. Notice verse number 36. Look at this verse. Look at the end of the verse. Whose name do you see there? You see Noah. Hold on. What genealogy is Luke giving us? Genealogy of Christ. Wow. You know, friends, as I was looking at this and I was putting together an article for it, I was overflowed with joy. Because I didn't know some of these things about this great man of God. And I would challenge us to do word studies at times and pick out a good character and study that character. You'll be amazed what you find out about that character. It's called an inductive study. You're taking all of the verses and you're gathering all of the evidence and you're finding out what this person is all about. Think about Luke chapter 17 and verse number 17. Jesus mentions this particular man, Noah. He mentions Noah again in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through verse number 38, thus validating the flood. The question we have to ask ourselves is this, Brother Braswell. If we conclude that Jesus did actually exist, then we have to conclude that when he mentioned Noah, it was a universal flood. you deny that Jesus exists, then really you're only denying your own self, because Jesus cannot deny himself. But if you acknowledge that Jesus did exist, and when he brings up Noah, friends, Noah actually did exist, and there was actually a flood. A couple of key points, and I'll let you go. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. I love this, that Peter, by inspiration, brings up this great man of God. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20, in the context of suffering for sin, and in the context of how God waited in the days of Noah. Notice, while the ark was being prepared, notice, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, Brother Rick. Noah was preaching, get in the ark, it's going to rain. And as he is preaching, he's preparing. You know what that teaches us too? That as we are teaching people the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ought to be preparing not only our lives, but the lives of others, helping them to be more and more like Jesus Christ. He was preparing this ark for, why? Because of Hebrews 11, for the saving of his house. But he was preparing this ark because God told him to prepare it. God knew that he was going to bring this flood. God brought this flood, and when he brought it, he saved Noah and his three sons, his wife, and his daughter-in-laws. But here's an interesting point for my Bible students. Look at Genesis 5. You say, why are you all over the Bible? It's purposely done. In Genesis 5 and verse number 32, in the 500 year, or the in year 500, let me say it like that. Notice who was born to Noah. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Is it possible that they were triplets? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Is it possible that they were triplets? There's no way that his wife had three children in 1 year. Can you imagine that? Imagine that powerful point there. These three young kids grew up listening to their father, obeyed their father's voice, obeyed his words. Why? Because their father obeyed God. Every father in here ought to obey God. Why? To give your children a chance to obey God too. I owe it to my children to obey God. Why? I want them to obey God. They owe it to their children to obey God. Why? They want their children to obey God too. Oh, it's a seed. Seed which comes from God gives to us. We take the seed that comes from God, we give it to our children. They take the seed that came from their father, that came from God, they give it to their children. And the seed continues to go down. God gave us a seed. Luke 8, verse number 11, it's the word of God. We ought to keep passing it down. Imagine him preaching and his sons listening. They marry young ladies and they listen to their husbands, and because they're listening to Noah, because Noah listened to God. You know, seed is going to produce after its own kind. But I leave you with this. One thing I love about Noah. Noah had some problems. But Noah was a working man. In Genesis 9 and verse number 20, the Bible teaches us that Noah was a farmer. We ought to teach our children, work. Don't be lazy. Work. Put our children to work. They will appreciate it. Noah built that ark. That was work. I don't think he sat there and played Xbox all day. He was working. He didn't have hand tools. I mean, he didn't have power tools. He was chopping wood. He was cutting. He was measuring. The man was a worker. He was a thinker. But I got to leave you with this. In chapter 9 and verse 29, I think it's probably one of my favorite points right here. Just as Jesus promised to give us an abundant life, God gave Noah 350 years after the flood. He went into the ark at 600 years old. He died at 950 years old. He had a good, ripe, old age. He died at a good age. You know, when we live right and do what God desires for us to do, usually we'll live long. But young people, if you don't live right and you mistreat people and you harm people, usually they want to take your life. You don't live long. But when we do what God wants us to do, usually we'll live long. I'm not talking about barren health problems. Those things take place. But if everything goes accordingly, you'll live a nice old age in service to the Lord. And Noah lived 350 years after the ark. And I thought about this, Brother Dennis. 350 years. This man saw sin at the height. And then he saw the cleansing of sin away. Wow. He saw the earth when it was at its worst. And then he saw the world at its best. Wow. Noah was truly a righteous man. And he was God's man. And I say this, it pays to belong to God. You never go wrong laboring for God. And even though it may have been tough on Noah to see the world go down the way that it did, he knew it was best, because doing what God says is always best. If you're not a child of God, we want you to do what's best. We want you to look at Noah, this great man of God. Some may say, well, you don't have to follow God to a T. That's the wrong attitude. I'd rather follow God to a T and mess up than to not try to follow God to a T. The only way that you can hit the bullseye, you got to at least be pointing toward the target. And some believe that, well, we all sin. It's just the way it is. But at least turn toward the target. Don't turn away from it. Turn toward it. And Noah was a man that did exactly what God wanted him to do because he loved the Lord, even in the midst of a wicked society. The society is wicked, but you can obey the gospel and come up out of the wicked mindset of the society by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Jesus Christ to be Lord, being buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will give you the crown of life. Just as Noah was named with Job and with Daniel, one day your name could be named in the book of life. When you leave this earth, you can know for a fact that I'm going to go home to be with the Lord. And really, that's what life is all about. But maybe a child of God, you need special prayer. Let us stand and let us sing the Savior's invitation.